So I want to recount on this day, November 22nd, 2023, my two divine encounters that set me three, and then a prayer. So this is for the sake of posterity. So on September 11, 2001, I was driving to Elizabeth, New Jersey. Clear day, beautiful day, gorgeous. New Jersey, going to work, going to a hospital, Elizabeth Hospital. And I was going there to help finish a project. We're running network cabling, just pulling Cat 6 wires, through places to connect them up to phones or connect them up to computers. As I'm driving there, I'm coming down a highway and I see, that's where I normally see the trade centers before I turn and head toward Elizabeth. You know, they're like they're literally right across the river. They're right there. I'm on the, the west side of the river, and the the towers are right on the east side. So I'm looking right up and I see a little smoke trickling out. Sharon calls me and says, something happened with the trade centers. Are you okay? What happened? Oh, small plane was what the news said. So then I turn to get on the turnpike, and then trucks are pulled over. Everybody's just kind of stopping and looking at the buildings. I just keep rolling. I roll to the hospital. I park my car, and we stand. A bunch of people are already standing on top of the parking garage, staring at Manhattan, staring at the smoke now, because the second, whatever, they said plane hit, and two buildings are smoking. North Tower. So it was like 8:50 something and 9:15, ish. So we were all just standing there and watching and staring and wondering what's going on. You know, everybody's astonished, amazed, scared. But it's everybody. It's doctors, it's orderlies, it's janitorial people, contractors, admin staff, just all together staring at these buildings. And I'm in the middle of it, and I'm on an edge, and just right in the middle of it, just contemplating, saying, what happened to America? That's what I'm saying to myself. We are being judged right now. We are being judged right now. So this is 2001. Around 10-ish something, I'm not going to get into times and deal, but I know the buildings came down, perfect, into their own footprint. When it wasn't in Manhattan, thank God, because the dust was so bad, it made people sick, and a lot of people died just from breathing that asbestos stuff that was in the air from the buildings coming straight down. And the explosions, because it was a ta-ta, 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 ta-ta. That's how they brought them down. They blew out the joints of the steel that held the building together in a succession, in immediate succession. And so those buildings fell straight down, like free fall, almost perfectly into their own footprint. And while that was all happening, I just said to myself, Lord, I will do whatever it takes to bring this nation back to you. So that's 2001. Sharon's pregnant with Seth. And she's getting close, and that's the situation. So on October 4th, three or so weeks later, Sharon, in the afternoon, first Seth, very hard delivery, first son, big, he weighs 9'11", sign about Seth, sign to me, dad. So later on the next year, 2002, my mom passes away in May, and she asked me to do the service, the funeral service, for her. She pre-wrote it out. Said, I want my son Jonathan to do it. Well, my uncle, her brother, is a great preacher, and many of the people there, his siblings and nieces and nephews, are there, but yet I'm the one doing the service. And his younger brother, David, and I had walked the ground where the service was going to be held, beautiful setting, overlooking a valley. The Lord gave me Romans chapter 8, the earth is groaning and mourning for the revelations of the sons of God. That was my theme. And mom's going to be, she's going to be there when it's all restored, kind of idea. I guess that's what I basically said. And my uncle's staring at me with his jaundiced eye. What does that mean? He, whether it was jealousy or like, why you, not me? Because he's always preaching. But why would you not celebrate and say amen to what I'm saying? I'm the son, the only son of my mom. It was her wish. But his ego, that spirit of ego, Lilith or whatever, wanted him to be there, not me. So I saw that. And then shortly after my mom passes away, things start going sideways at Trinity. There's a war going on between him and me. Unknown, like source is Satan, evil, but God is allowing it. He's running me out of that church. So in September 2002, I just know it's time to go. I call another church that's about an hour south, and I say, this is my situation. Can I come to your church? I don't want to come in with trauma. I want you to know I'm just coming there to go to church. And he says, sure, I'll give you a shot, benefit of the doubt. But in those intervening times, I would lay on the floor before we moved away and sold our house. I would lay on the floor and weep. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd get up and just weep. And I remember looking in our backyard at a big tree that I said, honey, what happened to us is like a big limb coming out of that tree would be cut off and it's just going to bleed out. That's what we were a key part of the church, and we were seen by people, and I was my uncle's nephew, and people were saying I could be an elder someday, whatever. But we just left because God called us out. He said, that's done for you. So then I go and I sit under this new ministry for 2 years. It's Calvary Baptist Church. And this guy preaches the prophets, just word by word, verse by verse. Talks about the setting. Can't understand the prophets unless you get to the setting, what was going on in Israel. It's excellent, excellent. I have a relationship with the guy. And that went on for good for almost 2 years until his daughter got pregnant out of wedlock. He went into hiding, thought he should be, you know, lose his position because his daughter did something stupid. They eventually marry her and the guy. But I don't have fellowship anymore with the pastor. Then my friend Danny invites me to a service where a prophet from Scotland is teaching 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about prophecy, why we prophesy. Prophecy's still here. And it all of a sudden is just starting to explode. Oh, this makes sense. I'm reading the Bible. Like, I'd never read it before, but now I'm reading it. It makes sense. So at the end of the service, my friend Danny, who invited me, this is in New York State, by the way, near Nyack, and my friend Danny puts me on a list. Personal prophecy. I was scared. I thought it was going to be judgment. I thought it was going to be God telling me I should never leave Trinity because of, you know, feeling guilt and shame. So I'm like the 22nd guy, I think it was. Isn't it interesting? I was like the 22nd guy that he put a hand on and prophesied over person. And the first thing he says, reach unreachable people, touch untouchable people, so says your God. Those involved in the occult, those who hate me, and those who are running from me. That has stuck with me. And that what was said that day. I would tell the people in the church we were going to, the South. Revival is going to be in the South. I was just saying it. I was looking at and started to look in North Carolina. So I started trying to do things. And eventually I got a job in North Carolina, brought my family. And while we were doing the work for this neighboring community where we actually live right now, I was staring at the map. And a fireman said, you need to look at Pilot Mountain. So we went up there, we looked at three properties, picked one, and we made a transaction all from